Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Amen and amen. We bless the Lord and we give Him all the glory today. This happens to be the very first Sunday of the year 2026. Is that not so? And how many of you can testify that God has dealt well with you? You can truly say that God has dealt well with you. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord a little more and just bless His name this morning, giving Him all the glory, giving Him all the honor, giving Him all the praise. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. Give Him thanks, somebody. Give Him thanks, give Him thanks, give Him thanks. Give the Lord thanks, give the Lord thanks, give the Lord thanks this morning. Thank Him for how far He's brought you. Thank Him for where He's brought you from. Thank You for His mighty hand upon you. Thank You for His deliverance. Thank You for His provision. Thank You for His favor, His grace, and His mercies that have kept you. Exalt the name of the Lord with me. Exalt the name of the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord. Bless 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 the Lord. Be glorified. Be glorified today. Be glorified. Oh, Nyame, Nyawaje, Dosu, Wato, Tinaye, Tiasu, Asita, Ninaye, Wode, Jesus, Yebeka, Nyawaya, Chirama, Jesus, Yebeko,
on the internet.
Great things have you done for us. When we assess all of them, the only conclusion we can arrive at is that you have dealt well with us. You've never failed us. You've always been there for us. You've stood by us, Lord. Even when we went off the mark and displeased you by the good we should have done that we didn't do, by the bad we shouldn't have done that we did, you did not abandon us. You did not give up on us. You did not dismiss us. You did not throw us under the bus. You did not leave us as prey for the teeth of the enemy. But you were always there to restore us, to fix us, and to stand by us. Yes, Lord, you have dealt well with us. And today we magnify your name. We worship you and bless you. Be glorified over and over again. Thank you, Father, that you've not brought us this far to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you will continue to be with us. Your grace and your mercies will abound unto us. And this year also, we will be able to stand and testify at the end of it all that God has dealt well with us yet again. May your mighty name be praised this morning. And in Jesus' name have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let the people of God say, Amen. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap, my friends. And exalt him and bless his name. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. It is part of our church tradition that every first Sunday of the new year will always be set aside as a Sunday of consecration and rededicating ourselves unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And I think that it's a very important thing to do, because the way we are, there's a tendency for us to drift away from the Lord. And sometimes we slip off, we go off the mark, and we end up, you know, living for self, doing our own thing. But I think that a Sunday like this is a fine opportunity for us to rededicate our lives to the Lord and consecrate ourselves afresh unto Him. What do you think? Is it a good idea? All right. So this morning, before I enter into the word of God, I want us to pray for a few minutes. It's a prayer of consecration and a prayer where we rededicate ourselves unto the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, let's read from the New King James Version, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I want us to stand on this scripture and pray for a few minutes and present ourselves to God again. Amen. And we want to lay our lives down on the altar. And we don't want to do it partially, but we want to do it totally. All right? Because sometimes where God is concerned, we hold back and we don't go all out with Him. But this morning, we want to say that, Father, we are presenting ourselves anew to you. And not just a part of us, but we are giving ourselves totally. We want to pray and ask the Lord to take our hearts, to take our lives, to take our wills, our desires, and our future. We want to pray that this year our lives will bring great pleasure unto Him. I want you to lift up your voices right now and just pray for a few minutes and recommit yourself unto the Lord pray this prayer of total surrender to the Lord. Shall we pray? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for how far you brought us. And thank you, Father, for an opportunity we have to commit ourselves afresh unto you and to rededicate our lives anew unto you. This morning we pray and present ourselves to you again. We consecrate ourselves. We rededicate ourselves to you. We lay our lives down on the altar. We pray and present ourselves before you again. We are not doing so partially but totally. We are praying, oh God, that you take our hearts, take our lives, take our wills, our desires, our future, everything connected with us. May all we do this year bring pleasure unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that it will be a good year, a year of total devotion and consecration unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus, may your name be praised, Lord. May your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say amen. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3. Exodus 20 and verse number 3. It's a short verse and it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to empower us and give us the ability to tear down every competing altar in our lives that is competing with God for our devotion. You see, when we mention that word altar, I mean, it's a term that has been abused so many times. And sometimes we try and sound very mystical and very superstitious with this. But when we say an altar, it represents simply what or who we have surrendered to. That's what an altar represents. What you have surrendered to and who you have surrendered to. And an altar is what establishes ownership and lordship over your life. Now, the thing is that for us as Christians, sometimes we allow certain things to take the place of God in our lives. And we magnify those things above God. Anytime we do that, we have made that thing an idol or an altar in place of God. So we have examples of these. Like when you get to a place where you love money too much, money becomes an altar to you. Or you love pleasure. Or you love self, or you are full of pride, and you always want to enjoy comfort, and you are always pursuing things of the world. Whenever you get to that place in your life, what is happening is that that thing has become an idol or a god to you, and has become an altar that you have raised up. Today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are tearing down every competing altar. And we are praying that God alone will reign in our hearts and that He alone will sit on the throne of our lives. Lift up your voices and let's pray and pull down everything that is competing with God for our commitment, for our devotion, for our love, for our money, for our strength, for our energy. Pray and pull that thing down deliberately and intentionally. Pray that this year, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God and by the help of God, we are pulling down every stronghold, every competing altar, every idol, anything that we have elevated in our lives above God. We are giving God first place in our lives, and we are praying that the Holy Spirit will help us to do just that in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord right now, ask Him to reign in your life. Say, Holy Spirit, reign in my heart. Say, Father, reign in my life. May you alone sit on the throne of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We refuse to yield the throne of our lives to anything else, to anybody else, but to you and to you alone.
Holy Spirit, as we've said these words, help us to keep to them and to stick by them in the mighty name of Jesus. Rekotaya lama zomo de re. Yada baba ya mama baya made de ya bara baba somo de abara mate ya da baba ya made de be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And our last prayer before we get into the word of God. Psalms 143 and verse number 10. Psalms 143 and verse 10. It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The first part of the verse again, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Lift up your right hand with me and say, Father, this year, teach me to do your will. Hallelujah. And I want you to pray finally and ask the Holy Spirit, our helper, to help us align our steps with God's perfect will for us. We want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to align our steps with God's perfect will for us. Now, what are we saying here? You see, the best place for us to be is in the perfect will of God. If we are within the boundaries of God's perfect will, we can be sure that our lives will turn out well. And if we talk about the perfect will, it suggests that there is the imperfect, sometimes described as the permissible will of God. There are times when God may allow us to have certain things and to receive certain things, but they may not actually be what He wants for us. A classic example in the Bible is when the people of Israel asked for a king. Now, God granted them their wishes, but it was clear that this was not perfect, God's perfect will for them. And sometimes, you know, we may end up in God's permissible will and not in His perfect will. And the danger with that is it may bring us certain challenges and difficulties that we did not really bargain for. Today we are praying that Holy Spirit help us to align our steps with God's perfect will. And let us pray that all our decisions, our relationships, our ministries, our pursuits this year will agree with heaven's agenda for our lives and for this church. Lift up your voices and pray once again. The prayer point will be on the screen. You can look at it, refer to it, and pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. And we pray this morning and cry out to you. Help us to align our steps with the perfect will of God for us. There are times when we gamble with God's permissible will, His imperfect will. And we can admit that in times like that, we end up in places where we did not want to be. And we end up with situations that we did not really want. But this morning we are praying, help us to align our steps. Every move that we make this year, may all our decisions, all our relationships, all our movements, all our ministries, all our pursuits, may they agree with heaven's agenda for our lives, and may they agree with heaven's agenda for this church. We pray for this church, and we pray for every single member, all our friends, all our partners. Together, oh God, may we operate within the confines of your perfect will for us. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh God, that as we reconsecrate ourselves, and as we rededicate ourselves to you, and as we commit ourselves to your perfect will for our lives, this year 2026 will be a good year to the glory of your name. We exalt you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shall say, amen. Now lift up your right hand with me and make these confessions. I belong wholly to God. Say with me.
I belong wholly to God.
I am not my own.
I am not my own.
I am bought with a price.
I am bought with a price.
My life is for His glory.
My life is for His glory.
My heart is cleansed and renewed.
My heart is cleansed and renewed.
by the grace of God,
I
will walk in purity,
I will walk in purity,
in sincerity,
in sincerity,
and righteousness.
And righteousness.
Say also with me,
every competing altar
in my life
is torn down.
Jesus alone is Lord of my heart,
Lord of my home,
Lord of my future. I carry fresh fire for God.
I will not be spiritually cold.
I will not be dry.
I will not be indifferent.
My passion for God
is alive.
My life is aligned
with God's will.
I will walk in divine order.
In divine direction.
And divine purpose.
This year,
by the grace of God,
I will walk closely with God.
I will hear his voice.
I will obey his word.
I will follow his leading.
I am consecrated.
Separated.
And dedicated.
Unto the Lord.
My life
will produce fruit
that glorifies God.
In Jesus' mighty name, shout a loud amen and clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord, somebody, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And Father, as we dive straight into your word for us this morning, the very first Sunday of the year, we pray that we will hear your voice clearly and distinctly. Spirit of God, go to work on each and every one of us. Touch our hearts that it may receive your word into it. Touch our ears that we may hear very clearly. Touch our minds that we will know and comprehend what your spirit is saying to us. And I pray, Father, that through your word for us, may our steps be guided and may we be led to a good place, into the green pastures that you've always destined for your people. I commit myself into your hands. Speak through me, work through me, and cause me to be a blessing to your people. May they not see me, but may they see Christ Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Give Jesus another hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. And we are reading from verse 1 to 7. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse number 7. Now, I may take a little bit of your time, more than I usually will, so please bear with me, okay? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Colossians chapter 2, and reading from verse number 1. Hallelujah. This is what it says. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Verse 5. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should,
and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen. Now let's look at verse 6 and 7 from the King James Version of the Bible. And I want us to read it together. These two verses are our memory verses for this week. So let's try and memorize them. So say with me, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Say it again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. One more time. So walk ye in him. Take it again. Ready, go. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Once again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's read that again. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And on the 31st night, our watch night service, I declared to us, according to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that this year 2026 will be our year of being rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. Say it with me, please. Rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. One more time. And for the very last time. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, today, I want to take the first part of our theme, and probably for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to focus on that. So, I'm going to be sharing with you for a few weeks on what it means to be rooted in Christ. What it means to be rooted in Christ. So we are going to talk about what it means to be rooted in Christ. This is part one. Now, if we read verse 6 and 7 of Colossians 2 again, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, and be rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, I want to draw your attention to the word rooted. Everybody say rooted. Rooted. Say it again, rooted. Rooted. Now, go to the New Living Translation, verse 7. Let your roots, everybody say roots. Roots. Say it again, roots. All right, so you've seen the word rooted and then roots. Now, back to verse number 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is the New King James Version, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Okay? And I want to just try and paint a picture for you. It's a picture of, I want you to imagine someone who has never been to the United States of America before. and he has an opportunity to travel there. When the plane lands and is taxiing, you know, to where people are going to disembark, the pilot will announce, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived at JFK International Airport in New York." If it's a flight that has mostly Ghanaians, they will start clapping. Do they do that? It's always fascinating. You know, I mean, I don't know whether other nationals do that, but they always do that. I find it very interesting and very cute. They just start clapping, especially when the plane lands. You know, when it lands and it's not with too much disturbance, then they'll start clapping, clapping, clapping. Some will be whistling and everything. So I'm painting a picture for you. So this guy has never been to the U.S. before. And we've arrived. And the pilot has announced that this is America. Then this guy is very excited, jumping all over the place. And then at the airport, he decides that I'm staying here. I'm staying at the airport. I'm not going anywhere. Because my dream was to get to America. And the pilot has announced that this is America. I have achieved my aim and my objective. I am in America, so here I will stay. How does that sound to you? Ridiculous. All right. But you see, I would like to relate this to a lot of us Christians. And what we have done for a lot of us Christians is that we have stopped at salvation. And we have not journeyed on into knowing Christ, into walking with Him and growing in Him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Did you say that what this guy coming to America, what he just did you say that it was ridiculous? Because he's arrived and at the airport he says, "I'm not going anywhere. I just wanted to go to America. I'm in America, so I'm staying here at the airport." It's ridiculous. But that's how silly it is for us also as Christians to just stay with salvation and not move on into walking with God, growing in Him and maturing in Him. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I've explained this to you many times, it is not the end of the journey. It is not the end of the road for you. It is just the beginning of a new life and a new journey in Christ. When you become born again, when you become saved, it is not the end. It is just the beginning. It is just like when a little child is born. For 9 months, the child was in the womb. But once it is born, once it has come out of the womb, it doesn't mean that it's over. It's actually the beginning. It is the beginning of a new life for the child. The child now has to be weaned. The child has to grow, has to develop, has to mature, become responsible, marry, have children, and so on and so forth. Did you say and die? So that's what it is also for a Christian. You get born again. It's not the end of the road. But I'm saying to you this morning that many of us as Christians, we have just stayed at the level of salvation. And we have not moved beyond that. We've not grown. We've not matured. We've not developed. We have not increased in our knowledge of God. We've not become more spiritual. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the tragedies of Christians. So in the scripture, we looked at verse 6. Paul is actually alluding to this because he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, it's not the end of the road for you. So walk in him. And then the next thing he says, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. That means abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. Later on, I'll explain that bit to you. But I ask you to take note of the word rooted and the word roots. Is that not so? Now, when you see roots and you see rooted, what comes to mind? Trees. That's one of the first things that should come to your mind. A tree. A tree. The Bible uses rich images and metaphors to describe the Christian life. It describes who Christians are and how we are supposed to live. So there are different kinds of imageries that are used. Some of them are that Christians are light, salt. What else can you think of? Branches. You mentioned trees. Garden. Sheep. Soldiers. Athletes. Ambassadors. There's a place where we are described as living stones. Pillars in the temple. Or a building. So these are all rich imageries that are used to describe the Christian. Now, one of the imageries that we see of who the Christian is, and it is suggestive, is that the Christian is a tree. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. We looked at that during the watch night service, and I'm recapping a little, and then I'll proceed from there. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. From the New King James Version, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." And some versions will say, for field, they'll put the word garden or cultivated land. And this scripture was, this letter was written to Christians and believers. So what Paul is saying is that believers or Christians are God's field, or we are God's garden. All right, give me the Amplified again. I like that. "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." Then it explains, "You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation." Did you see that in the Amplified version? So together, we are God's garden. And what does that make each one of us as individuals? Trees. Or plants. All right, trees or plants. And in Isaiah 61 verse 3, which we also looked at, Isaiah 61 verse 3, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called a diadie." I didn't hear you. Trees of righteousness. The people of God can be called trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, "May I remind you, my friend, that you are a tree." And I'm not insulting you, but you are a tree, whether you like it or not. Tell the person, "Oh, tree." I would have you understand. Did somebody say mahogany? Now you are describing what tree you are, you see. I will have you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that every tree has three major parts. Every tree has three major parts. Let me start from the top down. akola haba na okasa bebere za no wanko Sunday school. Now the first part of the tree is what we call the crown. Everybody say the crown. This is made up of the branches, the leaves, the flowers, and then the fruits. So put together, we call that the crown. That's the first part of every tree. Then the second major part of the tree, we call the trunk. What we often refer to as the stem. Alright? That's the second part. Then the third part of the tree is the roots. So a tree is made up of three parts. Let's do a little biology. The first part that I mentioned is what? The crown. And the crown is made up of what? The branches, the leaves, the fruit, the flowers, and the fruits. And what's the second part of a tree? The trunk, otherwise known as the stem. Well done. And then the last part of a tree, the roots. Amen. Of the three parts of a tree, two of them are above the ground, and it's very visible. Now, I'm taking my time to explain this because if the Bible uses the imagery of a tree to describe us, there's a reason for it. And for every tree, the crown and the trunk are visible. Charlie, people are moving a step ahead of me. Oh, why have you taken it off? Oh, yeah, dear, no, my God, me can't fall so I'm bad. No. So as you can see, I wish I had a rod, then I'll be teaching properly. Teacher Jenny. So of the three parts of the tree, the trunk and then the crown are visible. But then the roots are beneath the ground. Hear me, my friends. Whatever you see of a tree above the ground is sustained by what you do not see, which is deeply established beneath the soil. I think you should write it down. Whatever you see of a tree above the ground is sustained by its roots, which you do not see, but is deeply established beneath the soil. Whatever you see of a tree above the ground is sustained by its roots, which you do not see, but is deeply established beneath the soil. Amen. The second important thing, it is the roots of a tree which enables stability, growth, and maturity. It is the roots of a tree which enables stability. If a tree is going to be stable, it depends on the roots. Not just stability, but it's the roots of the tree that enable growth and maturity. And Sister Elizabeth, when she was doing the introduction at the beginning of the service, explained that it is through the roots that the nutrients, the minerals, and the water that the tree needs in order to do well, it is through the roots that these things are transmitted to every part of the tree. So two important things about roots is that everything that you see about the tree is sustained by the roots which you do not see and which is deeply established in the ground. And it is the roots of a tree that enables stability, growth, and maturity. Have you enjoyed your biology lesson today? Yeah. So you see that biology is not difficult at all. Yeah. Somebody says, sir. Now, beyond all that I have said, and I'm almost done, there is a very important fundamental truth that I don't want you to lose. which is this. Listen carefully to me. Any tree that does well does so because of where it is planted and the source its roots draw from. Say it again. Any tree that does well does so because of where it is planted and the source its roots draw from. Say it again. Any tree that does well does so because of where it is planted and the source its roots draw from. Which means that where a tree is planted greatly influences how well it does. Is that easy to understand? All right. Let me give you an illustration. When you come to my house where I live, you will see that in the front of the house are four trees. These trees are called umbrella trees because of the way they grow and the shade they provide. But another name for them is, I think, terminalia. They call them terminalia or something. Now, these trees, I planted all of them on the same day. We bought them from the same source, from the same nursery. They were the same size. And I presume the same family. And I planted them many years ago. And I planted all of them in front of my house. Today, if you come and you check out the trees, you will discover that two of them have grown tall and regal with huge trunks and everything. But the other two, one at the extreme end and another one in the middle, have not done so well. They are not dead. They are still growing, but they are like akodanyame. Do you know what akodanyame is? Hey, I tell you, there are some children when you see them, or some people when you see them, you think that they are children, but they have grown. Yeah. So two of them have not done so well. It's not like they are dead though. The leaves are still fresh and everything. But for trees that came from the same nursery, were planted the same day. And when you come and look at the front of my, it looks the same. So why? Why have two of them done well and the other two not done so well? One of the possible reasons is because of exactly where they were planted. Because you see, a cursory view of the front of my house may make you feel that the soil there is the same. But when you go deeper, you may find out that some places are more rocky. You may also discover that some places have all kinds of obstructions. There may be pipes, there may be whatever. Which is why when you decide to drill a borehole in your house, sometimes they may drill here and not find water. But just about 10 meters or 5 meters away, when they drill, they will hit the water table and get a lot of water. It's the same compound. Same compound. But there's a difference. There's a difference in the ground. There's a difference in the soil. Which explains why the two trees that I've just referred to did well and the other two have not done so well. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that you can take a healthy seed or seedling. It is healthy. Everything is okay about it. But if you plant it in dry ground or you plant it in rocky ground, or you plant it in polluted land, it will not flourish. It will not do well. But that same seed or seedling, if you plant it in water or close to water, or you plant it in a good soil, or you plant it in a good environment, it will flourish effortlessly. So the problem is not with the seed. The problem is not with the seedling. The problem is where it's been planted and the source that it is drawing from. And ladies and gentlemen, this describes the situation with many of us as Christians. Are we Christians? Yes. Are we born again? Yes. Have we received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Yes. Are we sincere about serving God? Yes. Have we gifts and all of that? Yes. But the reason why some Christians are flourishing is because of where they have been planted and the source that their spiritual roots are drawing from. That's why some do well and some don't do well. And for us as Christians and the people of God, if we are going to do well, if we are going to flourish the way God intends us to, then we have to make sure that we are planted and grounded in nobody else or in nothing else but in Christ Jesus. That's what's going to make us do well. Now you may think that all Christians are planted and grounded in Christ. It is not true. If you check it out, you discover that there are many Christians who are grounded in religion, where religion is a system. It is a system of, you know, if you like, rituals, traditions, religious language. And there are things that we do as Christians. So when you see people doing them, or there's a certain way we talk, when you hear people talking that language, it's easy for you to think that, oh, this is a very proper, solid Christian. But actually, what you are looking at is religion. The person's roots are in religion and not in Christ Jesus. So there is no intimacy with Christ. That's what I'm explaining to you. We come to church, all right? We join in everything that happens in the church. We do all those things. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have a personal intimacy or relationship with Christ. But we are born again. Oh, we are born again. But we are not rooted in Him. There are a lot of Christians who are rooted in churches and denominations. This is one of the saddest things, especially in the charismatic world. So you find a lot of Christians, they are more loyal to a name, to a label, or to a brand. That's what the church has become in many places. And you find a lot of Christians, their loyalty is to the name, to the label, to a brand, but not to Christ Jesus. That's why there are Christians who fall away when there's a problem in the church. It is because they were not rooted in Christ. They were rooted in the church. There are other Christians also who are rooted in church activities. Look, I know of Christians, they just keep going for program after program after program, always around. So they hear NSPPD is in town, they are there. They hear Prophet Sakodia is doing something, they are there. They hear this, they hear that. So all over the place, Esther PSC is having concert, they are there. On Human Mercy is having concert, they are there. Joyful Way. Now, there is no problem. There's no problem with going for any of these programs. Have you ever heard me stopping you from going for any such program? Have you ever heard me stopping you from joining any of these prayer platforms? No. But I'm saying something to you. That there are many Christians who are caught up in a lot of activities, but they don't have a certain relationship or intimacy with Jesus. It's just moving all over the place. You are not rooted in Christ. You can have people who are rooted in their pastors. So they are connected more to the man of God than to the God of the man. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. They are connected more to the man of God than they are connected to the God of the man. So they are connected more to the man behind the pulpit than the one that the pulpit represents. It's one of the saddest things that you hear in the church today. It just shows that people's roots are not in Christ, the man of God. Sometimes you just go online and see them fighting. Hey, fighting over their pastor, fighting over the man of God, and all of this. I mean, how did we get there? Our roots are not supposed to be in men. Our roots are supposed to be in Christ. I'll end with this. This morning I saw on a pastor's platform that I am on that somebody had put up a video. It was a preacher preaching and he was lamenting. He said, "Where is the mantle of Idahosa? Where is the mantle of Reinhard Bonnke?" And he mentioned a few other people. Now, as I watched the video, I said to myself that it's not a bad thing that he's saying. But I am not interested in somebody's mantle. I am interested in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Who is Idahosa? Did he shed his blood for me? And you're talking about his mantle. He owns a mantle. Where did he get that mantle from? Where do I want to connect to Idahosa's mantle when I can connect to the one who gave him the mantle? And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning of the error that we step into. There's nothing wrong with desiring the anointing that is upon a man of God, but you should align things properly. Your connection must be deep in the one who called that man and anointed him for that office before you even talk about whatever he carries. And this preacher, as he was lamenting, "Where is the mantle? This person did this." He was talking so much. "Idahosa, this person," and everything. Not for 1 minute did I hear him talk about Christ. Not for 1 minute. And sometimes when you hear such sermons, you begin to think that this great men and women of God, Catherine Kuhlman, this person, that person, it's like since they died, there's nobody else. Who told you? Who told you? God is still working, though. Hey, you are the one who thinks that God is not working. He's still working. And sometimes it's easy for you to be deceived into thinking that, oh, perhaps I'm the only one who has this grace. I'm the only one who has this anointing. There's nobody else. This was the error of Elijah. Started complaining, "There's nobody else like me." God said, "Hey, hey, come on to me. I have 7,000 other people who have not bowed their knees to Baal. You are making a lot of noise. You are this, you are this. And you've allowed the woman, the queen to chase you out of town. Come, you have retired. Go and look for your replacement." Do you understand what I'm trying to get you to see? Talking about being rooted in Christ. Something has to change, you. And all of us have a lot of work to do. We need to examine and check ourselves that where are our roots? Why are we not doing so well? Why are we not flourishing so well? Why are we not bearing a lot of fruits? Why are things not working in a certain way? Perhaps the answer is that our roots are not embedded in Christ the way they are supposed to. And so this year, as we've set it upon ourselves to be rooted in Christ and to reproduce for Him, I want all of us to embrace this thing. I want us to run with it. Because if we can achieve this, and if this year we can go deeper and deeper in the Lord, I tell you, in our personal lives, a lot of things will change. The Christian life will be more meaningful and purposeful for you. The reason why you don't enjoy the Christian life, you are not committed, it's like we always have to wind you like a clock before you serve God, before you come to church, is because your roots are not in Him. That's a simple answer. But if your roots are in Him, you wouldn't need anybody to tell you, come to church. Come to church early, join the Bible classes, join a department, be involved in all church activities, serve God, give offerings, give your tithe. You won't need anybody to tell you that. If you always must have somebody on your case before certain things are done, ladies and gentlemen, I suggest to you that your roots are not in Christ Jesus. They are not. I'm sorry I don't have a very exciting theme for you this year. It's exciting. You are very spiritual people. Because one of the things that people are rooted in are the benefits we get from Christ. A lot of people are Christians because of the benefits. When they don't get what they are looking for, when their prayers are not answered, Otilo, away bus. It's the promises, the blessings in the creature. That is what attracts them. That is what draws them. And that's where their roots are. But not in Christ Jesus. That is why the themes that catch on, that a lot of Christians like, are the themes that have to do with the blessings, with the prosperity, with the deliverance, with the progress, with the putting your leg on the neck of your enemy and fire destroying. Those are the themes that people like. Shall it God help us? Oh, God help us. God help us that we don't kill the faith that has been handed over to us because we have not ensured that our roots are grounded in Christ. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do a process in us to get our roots out of the wrong sources and plant and establish them in the Lord. Some of you, you are rooted in your feelings and emotions. If you feel good, if you feel happy, you serve God. Yeah. But when you are not happy, when things are not going, you are not in a very good mood and everything, you become some way. You are not rooted in Christ. You are rooted in your feelings and your emotions. I've given you enough examples to give you food for thought and to help you to analyze and assess yourself. It's easy for you when you hear a sermon like that to let your mind jump to somebody you know. Oh, fine, eh? Don't go there. Look at yourself. Let's do self-assessment. And let's believe God to help us that wherever we have taken our roots, the Holy Spirit should help us to take them back. And this year, let's press on and plant them in Christ Jesus. And the Lord will help us to do that. Rise to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you.
Medal, medal. Nama somuye medo medo nama somuye dede amoa
Every head bowed and every eye closed. You just want to pray. I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe somebody invited you to church today. Or maybe you stumbled on this live streaming and something kept you locked in. But I want to ask you, have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you born again? I think that on the first Sunday of the year, you'll be doing yourself a world of good if you surrender your life to Jesus and you begin the process of planting your roots in Him. And I want to pray with you, my friend. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Lift up your hand where you are. God bless you. Or you may be watching me. You can lift your hand in your room. The Lord can see you. God bless you all. Now, would you pray this prayer with me wherever you are? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Help me, Holy Spirit, to plant my roots in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for all those who gave their life to Christ today. I pray that you will keep them, watch over them, protect them. Help them to be rooted in Christ Jesus, be established in Him, that they may reproduce to His glory. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, my
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.